Hey, welcome to the show. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to be with you today on this Tuesday of the 11th week in Ordinary Time. We're going to take a look at the Mass readings for this day. In addition, we'll be joined by in a pre-recorded segment with author Frank Hanna, who's written a book called A Graduate's Guide to Life. This was a really interesting topic. We talked about this with Frank on my morning show, Spirit of the Morning. We're going to replay that interview. In addition, we'll have our usual segments from Carlo Broussard and Tony Rossi of the Christophers. So we have a busy 30 minutes in store for you. Let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for the many gifts that you bring to us each and every day, especially the gift of your Son, Jesus. Father, we ask you to continue to help us as we walk through life. Help us to be by our, please continue to be by our side and guide us. Let us know how we can always keep you in mind throughout the day. Father, we lift up our friends who might be sick, anyone who is struggling with doubt or despair, anyone dealing with anxiety, anybody struggling with any sort of addiction, anybody suffering from religious persecution, as well as anyone dealing with weather-related problems. Father, we lift up our own personal needs, whatever they may be. We ask you to help us with them. I turn the show over to you, Father in heaven, and I ask you to speak through me so that your words may be proclaimed over the airwaves, and please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us, and good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you again for tuning into the show. I'm Gary Zimak, and you are listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. And as a reminder, you can also get the show on iTunes or TuneIn Radio. It's going to be free of charge wherever you go to get the show. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it always will be. And I want to say thank you to anyone who has recently contributed financially to my work. I really appreciate it. I sent out a newsletter yesterday asking for additional contributions so that I can continue my work. You've responded, and I'm very, very grateful. Please continue to spread the word and let people know that this podcast exists. I think it's very unique, and it's something that really serves an important purpose. That's why I started doing it again after stopping for a while. I'm going to continue to do my best to keep it going. One thing I want to mention is that tomorrow I'm going to be on my way to Cleveland, Ohio, to speak at a Legatus dinner, which is a business group. I'm going to speak to their group tomorrow. So the podcast for tomorrow will be a best of show. And what I'll do is I'll put together a few interviews that I've done recently on the program, and you'll get to hear those on tomorrow's show. So it's going to be a little bit different. And then, God willing, we're going to be back on track for the remainder of the week. Not sure about Thursday at the moment. I plan to do something on Thursday, but we're going to see how that goes. I'll let you know. Keep your comments coming. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I'd love to hear from you. I'd also love to speak at your parish. So feel if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to set that up, I invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. All right, time to look at the Mass readings. Today is Tuesday of the 11th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading comes from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, of the grace of God that has been given to the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their profound poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For according to their means, I can testify, and beyond their means spontaneously, they begged us insistently for the favor of taking part in the service of the holy ones. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and to us through the will of God, so that we urge Titus that as he already had begun, he should also complete for you this gracious act also. Now as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, all earnestness, and in the love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. I say this not by way of command, but to test the genuineness of your love by your concern for others. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sake he became poor, although he was rich, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Boy, this reading ends with a powerful statement. I think if you're looking for a takeaway from this reading, take a look at the way it ends. The reminder that Jesus Christ, although he was living in heaven, did not have to take on human flesh, but he did. He became poor, even though he was rich, as St. Paul states, so that by his poverty, you and I might become rich as well. And what Christ did for each of us is that he opened the gates of heaven. So he made it possible for us, even though we're completely unworthy, to be able to live forever in heaven. Now, I think we've heard this so many times that we often take it for granted. We lose sight of just how important of a sacrifice this is for us, right? So today, I would suggest that you really think a little bit about this, the great gift that Christ gave to each one of us by coming to earth, by suffering, by rising from the dead and opening up the gates of heaven for us. And I think when we consider that, when we think about just what Jesus did, if we really say that we love him, if we really say that we're his follower, we should in return want to do the same thing or something similar for him. We want to give our lives to him. It doesn't have to be giving up your life in a literal sense, but certainly in a figurative sense. We give up our life for the Lord. And that's the way we can respond to his love. Give up our life by saying, Lord, I am yours. Use me in any way you wish. That's a hard thing to do, though, because we don't know what's going to happen when we do that. We don't like to give up control. It's, for me personally, one of the hardest things to do, to say, Lord, you can use me in any way that you wish this day, even if it involves suffering. Well, personally speaking, I don't like to suffer. I mean, that's just my preference. I don't like it. But there are times that following the Lord isn't easy. There are times that it's difficult. There are times that it requires sacrifice, that it requires stepping out of my comfort zone. Well, that's when I want to run the other way. I mean, if I'm being completely honest, and that's something for all of us to really think about today. Are we willing to make that statement to the Lord? Lord, I'm going to follow you. Use me in any way that you need today. I want you to use me to bring other people closer to you, to bring peace to those around me, to serve you in any way that I can. And I don't really care if it's comfortable or not. Can you say that? Now, if you can't, that's okay. If you can't, pray for the grace then to be able to say that. Because that's not an easy thing to say. But when you think about it, what a great gift that is to give that to the Lord, to give your very life to the Lord. And say, Lord, as I go throughout the day today, there are going to be things that make me unhappy. There are going to be things that are difficult for me. There are going to be challenges. I'm going to meet people and have to deal with them. People that I might ordinarily not would rather not deal with. But I don't care, Lord, because you can use me today. You can use me today for whatever purpose that you have. Now, we're going to hear the gospel. Today's gospel is incredibly challenging today. And we're going to hear what Jesus had to say. He's going to have a really tough message. Again, these messages aren't easy. So let's try to make that our goal today, to let the Lord use us, to let him use us in any way that he wants. Just as St. Paul did. We look at what St. Paul went through. He went through a lot of suffering. St. Paul's life was anything but easy. But he did it. He endured many sufferings in order to proclaim the good news to the people that needed to hear it. He was doing it for the love of the Lord. The responsorial psalm today is Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God while I live. Blessed he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, The Lord sets captives free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. Praise the Lord, my soul. You know, looking at this responsorial psalm that comes from Psalm 146, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Let me ask you the question, the obvious question, where is your hope? Or should I say, in whom is your hope? A lot of times we don't really put our hope in God. We put our hope in ourselves. We put our hope in circumstances. We put our hope in money, whatever it may be. Is your hope really in the Lord? And if you wonder about, is this a good place to put your hope? The psalmist goes on to say, the Lord who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. If you're struggling with some sort of a problem in your life today, maybe you've got some sort of a challenging situation, something that might appear hopeless. And let's be honest, there are problems that can often appear to be hopeless. Remind yourself of the fact that the Lord did make heaven and earth. He created everything. He created everything out of nothing. So if he did that, then don't you think it's possible that he can handle whatever you're facing? And of course it is, but we need to be reminded of that fact, because it's very easy to forget about that. So today, remind yourself of the fact that the Lord did make heaven and earth. He created everything. So there is no challenge too great for him. Any problem imaginable can be handled by the Lord. The gospel comes from Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. This is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus speaking to his followers very early on in his public ministry. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." Boy, no challenge there or anything, is there? They're tough words. I mean, these words are very, very difficult to process. Let's take a look at the message of Jesus here. He's telling his disciples, "You have heard that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But what Jesus is doing now, he's raising the bar a little bit, or a lot actually. And he's saying, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And he states that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, your Father in heaven loves everyone, including the terrorists, including the criminals. Everyone who was ever created is loved in the same way by our heavenly Father. And what Jesus is doing is challenging us to love all those around us, including our enemies, including the people who annoy us, including the people who may have betrayed us in some way. He's telling us all that we need to love them in the same way that our heavenly Father loves us. And that's why this message that ends this segment of the gospel, this passage, is so important. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, does that mean that Jesus is truly calling us to be perfect? No, we can never be perfect. I mean, that's understood. But what we can do with God's help is love as God loves. And that's where the perfection comes in. And that's the message. And believe me, Jesus is trying to get our attention here. He's trying to get the attention of his listeners at the time. But also, this message applies to each one of us too. The message is, we are all called to that perfection, to love as our Heavenly Father loves. Again, we can't do it by ourselves, but with the grace given to us by the Lord, it is possible. So we need to ask for that grace. I can't love people who drive me crazy. Lord, please help me to do that. So I recommend you do that today, and you continue to look at those words of St. Paul, that message that, look, Christ did this. Christ came down to earth. Christ humbled himself to help us. How do we want to repay that? Do we want to repay that by listening to him? Well, here we go, right here. We say we're followers of Christ, but are we willing to do it when it becomes inconvenient? And again, if I'm being totally honest, there are times when I want to run the other way when I hear messages like this. When I hear these words of Jesus Christ, such as the message today, I don't like this message because it's hard. But if we're really going to be followers of him, right, what are we going to do? We're going to listen to him. We're going to love him, whether it's convenient or not. Alrighty, I'm going to take a quick break now. We're going to hear a message from Tony Rossi of the Christophers, and then Frank Hanna will join us to talk about A Graduate's Guide to Life, the book that he has written. The book was published by Beacon Publishing, which is a branch of Dynamic Catholic, and Frank has got a great message for those who are graduating from college. Oftentimes, they get met with mixed messages about what success is all about, what it means to be truly wealthy and successful in life. Frank's got a message for us, so you stay tuned. We will be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. At age 13, Brandon Williams from Staten Island, New York, put his knowledge of the Heimlich maneuver to good use. The seventh grader saw his classmate, Jessica Pellegrino, choking on a piece of apple while she was having lunch in the school cafeteria. He promptly sprang into action using the Heimlich to save Jessica's life. Now here's a funny part of the story. Brandon didn't learn how to use the Heimlich from a medical journal or class. He learned it from watching his favorite cartoon character, SpongeBob SquarePants. While Brandon isn't too verbal because he has autism, his proud dad Anthony said, "Raising special needs kids, you feel like they're very limited in what they can do, but this just proves there's no limit to what these kids can do." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Thank you, Tony Rossi, and welcome back to the Gary Zimek Show. I'm Gary Zimek, and I join you every Monday through Friday right here on Blog Talk Radio. Right now, we're going to go to a pre-recorded interview that I did on my morning show, Spirit in the Morning, on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia with Frank Hanna. Frank is the author of the book, A Graduate's Guide to Life. I think you're going to find what he has to say very interesting, especially if you are a recent college graduate or you know somebody who is a college graduate.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Sorry about that little technical glitch getting you on the air.
Not a problem.
But, Frank, great book, A Graduate's Guide to Life, Three Things They Don't Teach You in College That Could Make All the Difference. The first question I want to ask you is, this book is a recipe, contains a recipe for becoming successful. How would you define success?
Well, in my own opinion, success is becoming is when a human being fulfills as much of the potential that God invested in them as possible. Now, the one reason I'm writing this book is that young people, and for that matter, those of us who aren't so young anymore, get all kinds of messages, not just every now and then, but daily, almost hourly, from our modern media about what it means to be successful.
Right.
And so part of the question, part of the issue here is it asking exactly the question you started with me, how does one define success?
Because a lot of times your mind automatically goes to financial success. If I make a lot of money, then I am successful. But that's not necessarily true.
Well, that's right. And I've had the good fortune to be around a lot of people who have had great financial success. And I mean enormous financial success. And it's interesting how that does not bring happiness. Now, look, a little bit of money, if you're dirt poor and you can't afford to eat, some money can help your happiness because it can put, you know, food in your belly.
And I'm glad you're bringing up that point because that was a question that I had for you. If you can't even pay your bills and you get a little bit of money, that money will bring you some degree of happiness.
That's right. And in fact, that's where, you know, we know that it's the worship of money, the making money an idol, that's the sin.
Right.
Money itself is actually a good thing. Money's a gift God gave us to have transactions with one another and take care of ourselves. So money itself is actually a very good instrument for human beings to deal with one another. But because it's so powerful, we have to treat it carefully, and we have to be very mindful of how we act with it.
Now, in your book, you mentioned you have a threefold recipe for becoming successful. We don't have a lot of time in this interview, but could you briefly go through these three ingredients in the recipe for becoming successful?
Sure. You know, one is an understanding of reality.
Okay.
And I say that because one of the key things to life, to me, to being successful, is not living with delusions. Most of us have some delusions because reality's tough. T.S. Eliot said humankind can only bear so much reality.
Wow.
But I think it's important for us to see things as they are. One of the things I point out, we hear as we go to college, these are going to be the best 4 years of your life.
Yeah.
And I think the reality is, wait a minute, do I want to say that when I graduate at 22 or 23, that at this point it's all downhill from there?
Wow, good point.
Is that a good way? And what we do when we tell young people these are going to be the best 4 years, they get to college thinking, wow, I better blow it out. I mean, this is
right,
it. This
right.
is as good as it will ever be. I guess I need to do something spectacular. Mm. I need to live on the edge. Mm. I need to be crazy because after this, it's all downhill. Mm. And so, yeah, we say these things to kids as they go away because we want them to have a sense of adventure. We wish them well. But the reality is that that's terrible advice.
Mm. Mm.
The idea of college should be preparing you for another 50 years of happiness and fulfillment.
Right.
And not this one little period of true humanity. Reality is critical, and the other two are a real understanding of competition and an understanding of wealth. We're convinced in America that competition is this wonderful thing that mm-hmm. makes everybody better.
Mm-hmm.
Competition is part of our animal nature, and it can help propel us to be better. But this idea that success is, and I use the phrase in the book, getting ahead. Well, if you're getting ahead, that means you're getting ahead of someone, your neighbor, your sibling, your friend. And what I've found as I've watched happy people and unhappy, the people who are always competing, always comparing themselves to someone else, always trying to, quote, get ahead, they're never content.
Right, right. Very interesting.
Life is actually not a race.
Yeah.
Life's a journey we take together, but it's not a race.
So my success should not be based upon the failure of somebody else. If that's the case, if that's my goal, then my view of competition is not a good one.
Well, because you're also wishing that someone else doesn't do well.
Yeah, very good point.
And that destroys our humanity. I mean, and let me tell you something. That has real consequences. The very first murder in the world happened because of that.
Right.
Cain had put together a very nice offering for God, but he saw that Abel's was a little better, and it drove him nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that I've seen over and over and over people who have a life full of blessings, and they go on Facebook and see that their buddy is at the beach right now, and all of a sudden the day that was wonderful turns into a day that's unhappy because they wish they were their buddy at the beach rather than living the happy life they have. And that's the kind of thing with social media. We just have to be very careful because we're hit with this deluge of, you know, people post, hey, look at my new car. Hey, look at where I am now.
Exactly.
Look at this, look at that. And it can, that's not a recipe for happiness.
I would totally agree with that. Now, we have less than a minute left,
yes.
But a definition of wealth, does that just mean a lot of money?
Now, wealth is the word actually means well-being, and so I think we need to start a wealthy person is someone who is full of well-being. And well-being, I define wealth in a different way. I define wealth as the hope that we have, because wealth is always sort of hopeful, full of hope. Hope is the essential ingredient of wealth, and the other essential ingredient is human relationships. And so wealth. Our wealth is dependent on the hopefulness we have about the human relationships that we've cultivated and that we have in our lives. Everyone I know who has full, vibrant human relationships and is hopeful about those relationships for the future,
right.
Everyone I know like that is wealthy.
Excellent point. Frank Hanna, I want to thank you so much for joining us. The book is A Graduate's Guide to Life, Three Things They Don't Teach You in College That Could Make All the Difference. We're going to have a link on our Spirit in the Morning page where our listeners can purchase the book. Frank, thanks again for joining us, brother.
Gary, thank you for having me. Take
care. All right. God bless you, my friends. Frank Hanna, A Graduate's Guide to Life.
Can a moral relativist object to God's goodness based on the problem of evil? The answer is no, at least when it comes to moral evil. And here's the reason. You see, moral relativism states no moral truths exist independently of the individual. That's to say, what is right and wrong is relative to what the individual determines. Now, how can a relativist's deviation from his own moral standard be considered morally evil when there's nothing to oblige him to follow his moral standard? The answer is, it can't. But if no moral evil can exist within the mental framework of moral relativism, well then obviously a relativist's complaint about the problem of moral evil is useless. So the relativist either has to give up the complaint about the problem of moral evil to keep relativism, or give up relativism to keep the complaint about the problem of moral evil. The relativist can't have both. I'm Carlo Broussard with a ready reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
And welcome back to the show. My name is Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for joining me today. I want to thank Carlo Broussard, Frank Hanna, Tony Rossi, and everybody that helped make this show possible today. I am so thrilled to be here with you each night, each Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you have any questions, anything that I can do for you, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Since I am traveling tomorrow, tomorrow's podcast is going to be a special all-interview edition. I'm going to string together some of my recent interviews that I have done on my morning show, Spirit in the Morning, on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia. Hopefully you'll be able to listen to that. I look forward to joining you again when I get back from my trip. Incidentally, if you would like to bring me to speak at your parish, the best place to go is my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com, and we can talk more about it, how you can bring me out to your parish. And again, remember, you can help me to keep this show on the air through your donations, and the way you do that is by going to followingthetruth.com and making a secure donation through PayPal. You can either make a one-time donation or become a monthly sponsor. Both of those things are very important and critical to keeping my ministry going strong. All right, I'm going to run right now. And again, thank you for tuning in to the program. Please let your friends know about this podcast. A lot of people think that I'm not doing it anymore because I took a break for a while. I am back in action doing it again. Let your friends know that the podcast is available on iTunes, on Blog Talk Radio, and on TuneIn Radio. It's going to be free of charge no matter how you do it. So it's not going to cost you anything at all. Thank you again for listening. Remember today that wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever situation you find yourself in, the Lord is with you. All you need to do is turn around and say hi. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.